the Lord's help, and desire that we would turn together and read from Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Six verses of a psalm for this afternoon's meditation that illustrate for us two ways, a way of a blessed man and a way of an ungodly man. Two different destinations, two different choices. The way of the blessed man is one of peace, of delight, of strength, one that prospers, and the one of the ungodly is weak and helpless and condemned. And this is the truth of the Word of God. There are no middle ground between these options. And it is the grace of God, it is His mercy and His kindness to you and me to offer us the choice between the two. And to offer us a way that we can escape the deception and the power of sin and evil through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose name we desire to have above ourselves as a banner, that we would be Christians, that we would follow Jesus Christ and His way of truth. And He had many things that He spoke of blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. He spoke of a blessedness, a joy, an inner joy that is found by those that embrace the Lord in His ways. And we can testify, those who are children of God, we can say with David, Amen. How blessed are we whom God doth love, and of our wants is heedful, who as a father from above grants all that is needful. What need we more, since we have for a great God and Father, the great giver of all good gifts forever? Can we say that these first few verses describe an autobiography of our life and our walk with the Lord, a blessedness and a peace in Him? That is what He has called us to. And those are the fruits of following in His way. This is the truth, and we have the choice to embrace it or turn away. God give us each grace that the Lord may shine a light on His word and on our hearts, that we would love the good. That we would love the good and turn away from evil. It is not necessarily an easy choice when we consider the conflict that exists in man, the battle that exists of the flesh and the world and Satan, pushing and striving and seeking to influence our decisions and how we live. There is a counsel of the ungodly. There's a teaching. There's a way of life of ungodliness. And it's a path. It's a walk. It's a way of life. It's a philosophy. Could be. There's a place to stand in the way of sinners. And there's a place of rest, sitting in the seat of the scornful. You can see that progression of activity to slowly settled resting, not moving anymore. The man that's walking can easily think, well, I'm walking on the path of life and I can easily change my direction. But sin and Satan are described in the Word as subtle. They're deceptive. And slowly, bit by bit, our hearts can become calloused, can become immune to the feeling of guilt, to the feeling of right and wrong, where we slow down and stand still, and then eventually sit, not to get up again. On the other hand, there is a way of life. There is a way of being yielded to the Lord that says, this may be the trend of the world and what I see around me. And all of the advertisements that and temptations that friends might seek to use to allure me to something, there's a way that is rejecting that. When the world says, walk in this counsel of the ungodly, we read the Word and see how we should rest and wait upon the Lord at those times and not yield. Or those that stand in the way of sinners. What does the Bible say? Where should we stand? Where should we build our foundation? Jesus said, the one who hears my words and does them, I will liken him to a man that built his house upon a rock, a solid foundation, one that's strong, that says no to the world and yes to what Jesus has said. Or those that sit in the seat of the scornful, how easy it is to sit and rest and recline. And yet the Word instructs us to run the race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set at the right hand of God the Father. We read of Apostle Paul, who said he strives for the and perseveres. He says that he has run the race and has finished his course. When the world says, slow down, take it easy, why are you worried so much about this holiness stuff? Remember what the Word says about pursuing after the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give in to the temptations, because there is a blessedness. There's a joy. There's a peace that comes when you can look back on your life and said, I did not partake in that thing that was drawing me so strong. And there's an inner peace that comes and says, I did not do that by my own strength. I did it by trusting in the Lord. I didn't know exactly how it was going to work out, but I committed my way unto the Lord because he's my faithful creator. And I believed him more than I believed the promises that my friends or the advertisements gave me. And I found out that the Lord is true. There's no greater joy than knowing deep within our hearts that the Word of God is true. It gives us hope. It gives us something that we look forward to, an eternity with the Lord that He has promised, which we haven't seen with our eyes, which nobody advertises in this world with the glitz and the glamour. But in simplicity, the Word calls us, trust, believe, and follow. And in the end, we'll see. And truly, it's not completely a blind faith. We have seen in the Word, and we have seen from our own experiences and also the experiences of others, God has proven Himself faithful time and time again. It's not a wishful thinking, you know, that we are somehow stepping out into a life of faith, just hoping that maybe something, God might bless us. Now, we know that the end of the way of sin is death. And we know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we would live this life in patience, those of us who are believers, and testify of what Jesus has done for us in our interactions with each other, and as brothers would open the Word and share it, it is sowing in hope that you would find that blessedness too. That you would also delight in the law of the Lord. That you would see His commandments are not grievous, but love them and see that this is the best way to live. We have a great deal of comfort and ease in some ways. In the protection or safety of stable families, many of us. And that is such a rich blessing that this world and even in our country are not seeing, and they don't enjoy, and they reap bitter tears, and children that are rejected and neglected are bearing for the sins of their parents. We're so blessed. We don't even know. I don't even realize, I'm sure. But the Word of God said that there is a blessing in this way that values commitment, that values dedication, that values families, that values the Word of God and abiding in Him. May we also find the end of that commitment to be a blessing to our homes, to our church, in our lives, and find the Word and us saying amen to this psalm. Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." It's beautiful when we can consider the words. Not long ago, a brother challenged or encouraged us to commit some verses to memory. I found that such a blessing later on through the week to stop at work, pause, and write down those verses. And just to break away from the busyness of the day for a short time, I found it such a blessing. I'm so thankful that he did that for us. And that is what we do for each other. We help each other, and we encourage each other to live a life that is in the fear of God and that is concerned with putting Him as a first priority so that we can reap the benefits. May we do that continuously, day and night. We consider in the daytime the beauty of the sun, because we've been covered in clouds for the last several weeks, and it's a blessing. And we meditate on that and how the Lord blesses his children, how he provides for us both the rain and the sun. But at nighttime, when it's quiet, when it's just the thoughts of my day, my regrets, my joys, my sorrows and struggles, and nothing else is pushing, and I have time for the Spirit of God to begin to speak to me, this is also a blessed time of meditation, a time where the Lord can be developing my faith, my trust in him. Times of quietness. Day and night, meditating upon the law of the Lord. Then finally he says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This is why we love the Word of God. We know that it's true, and we know that every promise of God is going to be fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is confidence, there is assurance, there's a blessedness in it. There was a man who was taking over the leadership of the children of Israel. His name was Joshua, and he had opportunity to be blessed by the way that the Lord had used Moses to lead the people before him. But now, in Joshua chapter 1, it was his time to start making decisions, to start demonstrating and exercising his trust in the Lord and how he was going to make a path for the people with the Lord's help, to show not how we trust in Moses or how he led them, though I'm sure he appreciated all that Moses had done. But now he's coming to a point in time where he doesn't have the protection of relying on someone else. Everyone comes to that point. Every young man comes to that point when they're no longer a young man, but they are a man. And part of that step, part of that journey, is making decisions for yourself, taking responsibility for our actions. What words of wisdom could we give better than looking at the Word of God so that you and that I and our children can be successful? Not in the way that the world obviously defines success, but successful and receiving the praise that only comes from the Lord. We can only turn you to the Word. And the Word speaks these things to Joshua. He says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." History is full of attempts to discredit God or to think that man could outrun or outwit the Lord and his Word. You put your faith in the Lord. You read the Word so that you may be able to do it and to follow in it. And this will make your way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success in a way that is of eternal value, not in the way that the world defines. And there is something in a heart of a father that desires this for children, for generations to come, that they would prosper in faith, that they would be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that they would take the call to be sober and to be lights in the world seriously, and that they would be successful in it, that they would take joy and pleasure in fulfilling the calling that God has for your life. And that is success. Following the Lord's will. Being a part of his kingdom. However small it may be in the eyes of men. But to do this, we have to dig deep. Talks about the roots of a tree. We've had a lot of rain recently. A lot of water has fallen on the ground, and we can see it. It's sitting on the surface in puddles and pools, in people's front yards. You walk in the grass, and your ankles are wet. A tree could start growing in that condition, put its roots out really shallow, and start getting lots of water. And that'll work for a time. But eventually, that water is going to dry up. And that tree is going to dry out. It's the same thing with all of the options that you have before you. The world offers pleasure. The world offers things that can make you proud. Short-term benefits. And they will dry up. Oh, they might be joyful for a time. They might be pleasurable. You might have a lot of enjoyment and fun. But they will dry up. So, the tree that is planted by rivers of water sends its roots down to the source. That doesn't dry. It has to pass up all those puddles that are so easy to get to. And maybe that's what it's like for us to pass up on pleasures that are shown with such wonderful smiles and a lot of fun. And pass those things up for something eternal. To pass those things up because of a promise of God. But there's greater riches. And there are no advertisements for those things. There's no commercials. They're advertising that long-term, eternal view. The presentation of this was made in a manger where Jesus was born. In a humble servant, the message was sent. And it's at the cross where he won the victory for us. It's not an appealing marketing scheme. And no one will force you or coerce you. But the choice is up to you. Do you believe? Will you repent? Will you trust the word of the Lord, or will you trust your instincts and your wit? The choice is ours. As it is each and every week. The last few verses mark a point of transition where David speaks not of the blessed, but of the ungodly. And there is a clear distinction between the two, just as we heard Jesus explaining this morning, that there is a separation between those who are inheriting eternal life and those who will be cast away. I so appreciate this imagery of the chaff. I can't draw upon an experience that I had where I can say that I saw chaff being separated and then being cast away. But you can find people who have done this and they post their videos, and you might find something that triggers some meaning in this illustration by seeing how incredibly light the chaff is. I never realized it before till I saw somebody blowing on it. Sin, Satan, the world, our flesh, seems so strong. But in the end, it's like chaff that is so light, the faintest breath can cast it away. I wonder if that's how David saw Goliath. You remember what all the men that were around were saying? They were afraid of him. They were seeing him as something big and intimidating and strong. But you know what David said? He said, "My God was with me when I saw the lion and when I saw the bear. And he gave me victory." And the same thing is going to happen with this giant. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm going to trust. And this young man was able to see the enemy for what he was because he knew God the way he was and how great he is and how powerful and how able he is to give us a way out of temptation, to give us strength and wisdom to be able to discern when is the time to do good, when is the time to flee, when is the time that is in God's keeping. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He's familiar and acquainted with his ways. He knows the struggles. He knows the pressure and the cruelty of men. And he is able to help us in our time of need. Because he is all-powerful, because he is all-knowing. But the word teaches us that he is able to help those who are tempted because Jesus knew and he experienced what it was like to be a man who needed to trust in God. And he shows us our pattern for victory, for success in trusting in the Lord. We have those same resources. We have the Word before us. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us when we entrust our lives unto him. May we avail ourselves of that and find the blessedness of the Lord. May God bless his word.
As this chapter started out, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Made me think of the blessedness that Christ spoke about when he spoke of the Beatitudes on the mountain. And he said there to the many blessings, things that come to us. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. These are the blessedness that the apostle, or that Christ had spoke about on the Beatitudes on the mountain, that we are blessed by him ever so many ways. And I believe the key then to it is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's where our blessedness really comes from. We watch where we are, who we talk to, how we react to things that take place in our lives. And so if we want to be blessed by the Lord, we must seek after his righteousness. Amen.